Chapter 4, The Deliverance of Shishupal. King Yudhisthira began elaborate preparations for the majestic Rajasuya sacrifice. Qualified and expert brahmanas and sages were honored as priests in charge of the ceremonies, in which they used a golden plow, golden pots, and plates, huge amounts of clarified butter, and mountains of grains. The king invited exalted sages such as Krishna Dwaipayana Vyasadeva, Bhartaraj, Vashishta, Chayavana Muni, Maitreya, Kashyapa, Damya, Parashuram, and Sukracharya, as well as the great devotee Vidura, his teachers Kripacharya and Dronacharya, his grandfather Bhishma, and Dhritarashtra with his 100 sons, headed by Duryodhan. Many kings and their citizens came from all over the world. The demigods traveled all the way from the heavenly planets. Everyone was anxious to see this great ceremony, and whoever helped make the sacrifice was offered the sacred life-giving juice of the soma plant. Before the ceremony, everyone joined together in prayer to honor Krishna, the best of the exalted Yadu family and the protector of his devotees. King Yudhisthira and his family washed Krishna's lotus feet and sprinkled the water on their heads, as was the custom. Then they gave the Lord beautiful yellow silk clothes and trays full of jewelry and ornaments. Standing before him with folded hands, they began to chant, "Jai, Jai, Namaha, Namaha, all victory and all respects." As they offered respects to Krishna, demigods showered flowers from the sky. Everyone was pleased to worship Lord Krishna. That is, everyone except Shishupal. He had never liked Krishna at all. A special anger simmered in his heart when he thought of how Krishna had kidnapped Rukmini on his own wedding day. Shishupal jumped up, waved both arms, and shouted, "There are so many learned sages and elderly persons present. What good is it to worship this rascal Krishna? We do not even know what family or caste he belongs to, or what work he is supposed to be doing. On the battlefield, he ran away from the great Jarasandha and hid in the ocean like a coward. He hardly follows the proper rules of the holy Vedic scriptures." Relentlessly, Shishupal, whose face was red with anger, ranted on and on like a howling jackal. No one could tolerate this blasphemy against Lord Krishna, because this was a religious ceremony. Some covered their ears with their hands and walked out. But many powerful kings stood up with their swords, ready to strike Shishupal down. Shishupal was so foolish that he stood there with his sword and shield, ready to fight them all. To avoid having a terrible fight at this auspicious place, Krishna personally pacified the outraged kings. Then, while the irascible Shishupal continued to abuse the kings, Lord Krishna casually and coolly released his razor-sharp Sudarshan Chakra, which immediately separated Shishupal's head from his body. A great roar and howl went up from the crowd. Many of Shishupal's friends ran away from there as fast as they could, afraid for their own lives. Although Shishupal had behaved so rudely, he had also always been completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna throughout his whole life. He hated Krishna so thoroughly that even as a child, he never stopped thinking about him. Therefore, in front of the entire assembly of saints and demigods, Shishupal's spirit soul, which was shining very brightly after leaving his body, merged into Lord Krishna's body. Thus, the envious Shishupal was liberated from the material world. Joyfully, the Bris once again continued the wonderful Rajasuya sacrifice for the benefit of the entire world. Throughout the Rajasuya ceremony, Sahadev welcomed everyone. Krishna washed all the guests' feet, and Karna gave gifts away in charity. Duryodhana managed the money. Nakul did the shopping. Bhima did the cooking. And Draupadi served meals to everyone. All the demigods, kings, saintly people, and citizens were very satisfied with such grand arrangements. They all loved King Yudhisthira as their king and protector, just as children love their father. At the end of the ceremonies, King Yudhisthira took a special Avibrita bath in the Ganges River as musicians played drums, bugles, mridangas, conch shells, and kettle drums. The ankle bells of the dancing girls jingled while various groups of singers played veenas, gongs, flutes, and cymbals. The priests and brahmanas loudly chanted Vedic hymns. The demigods also played music and showered flowers from the sky. King Yudhisthira dressed up in new silk clothes and valuable jewelry, and then gave clothing and ornaments in charity to the assembled priests. He led a parade of princely guests from kingdoms all over the world. Some held colorful flags and rode on gorgeously decorated elephants, followed by chariots, horses, and soldiers. Demigods, charanas, and kanaras in airplanes overhead showered flowers from the sky. The men and women of Hastinapur were also colorfully dressed and smeared with lovely smelling perfumes. Lord Krishna and his 16,000 queens enjoyed the festivities by throwing colored water, oil, milk, butter, and yogurt on each other, and then they bathed in the Ganges River. When the festivities were over, everybody exchanged farewells and returned to their own homes, kingdoms, or planets with grand stories to tell their friends about King Yudhisthira's Rajasuya sacrifice. Out of love, the king stopped many relatives and friends from leaving. Krishna also stayed on for a few months more to please him. The only person there who was not happy was Duryodhan. Many years before, he had tried to marry the beautiful Draupadi, but had lost her when she married the Pandava brothers instead. Seeing his beloved Draupadi at Hastinapur still disturbed him, even after so many years. During his visit to Yudhisthira's palace, Duryodhan discovered many magical rooms. The demon Maya had cleverly built one corner of the palace to look like a small pond, although it was really the floor. Indeed, another corner of the palace looked like good firm ground, although it was actually water. While walking through this particular corner, a very unsuspecting and surprised Duryodhana accidentally fell right into the water. looking on with great pleasure, all the queens of Dwark and Hastinapur simply laughed with glee to see him splashing around in what he thought looked like the floor. Duryodhan, however, did not find it very amusing at all. The sympathetic Yudhisthira tried to stop the ladies from making fun of Duryodhan, but Krishna encouraged the joking and the laughter. While Yudhisthira was sorry to see his very embarrassed guest leave suddenly in an angry mood, Krishna was hatching his own plans to remove the wicked kings of the world.